It's gonna be good.
Hi, beautiful people. It's me, Jenny D from Spill With Me, Jenny D podcast. I have another episode and I'm very, very curious and very intrigued by this young man here today. Now, this is Dan. He is the president of the consulting, Aaron Consulting Company.
Yep.
And I saw about recruiting, and now that my child is in the whole football, and I thought we need to talk about this because a lot of parents like me and other people out there, they want to know more about the process and what's going on. Dan, introduce yourself and thank you so much for being here today.
No, thank you. And I did get a chance to see that you've had over 100 podcasts. That's awesome. I ran a podcast for a couple of years. I think I made it to like 7, and it was too overwhelming for me. So my name's Dan Fedrosi. I'm the president of Aaron Consulting. So I started a recruiting education service when I left college coaching.
Okay, I was going to say, bring us back a little bit, Dan. What did you start out doing? Because I want to know how you got into this.
No, it's a great question. So I played college football at a small school, Saginaw Valley State University over in Michigan. Met my wife there. And when I finished up playing, we had a really good team. And when I finished up playing, I dove right into coaching college football.
No way.
And from 2006 right up until 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, that's all I had ever done. My wife is a nurse. She's now a nurse practitioner. And, you know, coaching was all I'd ever done.
That was your life.
That was my life. And me and my wife had moved around the country. My daughter was born in Fargo. My son was actually born back in Saginaw. So we had moved. We had kind of been on that carousel of coaching, not as drastic as some of the other friends that I know that have moved 7 times in 7 years. I mean, you hear some of these stories.
Right.
We were not that bad, but we had been on the move. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, my wife had an opportunity to get a job.
Yeah.
And in kind of her passionate field of nursing and taking the next step. And I said, well, why don't we take this journey? Go ahead. And I always had a belief or a thought or a vision of doing something with what I learned over 15 years of coaching. And the recruiting process, even I could see it. And my wife always reminds me, you were coaching every single day, but I could see those parents. They were so confused when they would come on visits.
Right.
There's so many dynamics. So I said, well, what if I start a company to really educate mostly the coaches, high school coaches,
right,
and then also the families on what I think is important? You know,
so what did you coach exactly?
So I was a college football coach. I coached many positions. No, I never achieved. And that's actually a story we can maybe talk a little bit about, really what continues to drive me today. But I had kind of climbed the ladder a little bit, started like everybody else as a graduate assistant. You know, you almost considered an intern, and then started to become a full-time assistant, you know, coaching multiple different positions. And in 2019, I was able to get an offensive coordinator job, which was really my goal at the time. And I did have a passion to want to be a head coach, but I wanted to run an offense.
Yeah.
And I got up to a school, Northern Michigan University, beautiful place. It was in the league that I was coaching. I had familiarity with it, and I believed that I was going to be successful. And I was thinking about this before I came on your show. You know, a lot of times people will introduce their podcast guests, and they'll talk about all the success they had. Everybody wants to hear about the winners, right? So I take this job, and I was really excited to prove myself. And we won the first game. Everything's going great. He lost the next 9.
Oh.
We went on a 9-game lose streak. So I say that to say this. Well, it does happen, but I think there is a lot to learn from losing that will propel you forward in any venture, whether you're doing a podcast, whether you own a business that sells goods, or you're in a service like mine that's working with people. The ability to handle losing and learn from that is a very valuable skill. So that's really...
I never thought about that, Dan.
Well, it's really what propelled me to where I am today.
Yeah.
You know, I constantly think about that. And I'm going to use the word failure. I know it's not the world's best word to use, but it was a tough situation. You know, it was a tough 2 months, and those kids just battled so hard. And we had some tough breaks, but it was my job to score more points, and we couldn't do that. So the opportunity to do this came up, and I attacked it, and I kind of still fall back in some of those things that were challenges. And I use it still to this day to remind myself that, hey, things are not going to always be perfect.
Right.
And so that's kind of propelled me into just educating people, giving them thoughts and giving them ideas on the recruiting process and letting them know that, okay, you know, we maybe can't see the future, but let's at least put ourselves in the right position. Right. And first and foremost, my company is designed around making sure that the coaches are still heavily involved. That was probably the second portion that I saw about
the
process.
Name your company again, hon.
So the full name of the company is Athletic Recruiting Education and Navigation. And I kind of pare it down to Aaron Consulting because it's a lot easier to say than the full mouthful that I don't even think that full name can fit on my business credit card. So I started realizing, you know, I might want to kind of tone that down a little bit. So Aaron Consulting is really an educational resource for schools and families throughout the country. And it's really...
And where do you live? I never said this in the beginning. You don't even live in the Pittsburgh.
No, so I live in Milwaukee.
Yes. So that makes me so intrigued, Dan. It's like, okay, how did you get involved in like Pittsburgh?
Right. Great. So first off, you know, just like anything in life, it's all networking.
Yeah.
You know, one of my college coaches is Mike Evans. He's a head coach at Kanemak.
No way. Small world.
So
right?
I played for Coach Evans. Some people like to say we survived Coach Evans. Coach Evans is just as passionate today as he was when I was 20 years old. And I really appreciate you introducing me as a young man. That was just fantastic.
Everybody,
I'm not even going to address my age, but I will take any of it. So I played for Coach Evans, and Coach Evans introduced me to Coach Plack, the head coach at Peters Township. So it's all networking. It's all connections. It's all people that you trust.
Right.
And I've been able to build my company through people that trust me and know what my vision is. I work with multiple schools in Michigan. I have schools down in Tennessee and Georgia. And then obviously in my home state of Wisconsin is where I maintain.
So how many schools would you say you have that now you're helping with?
Yeah. So I am under contract about 25 schools throughout the country.
Wow. 25 schools.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gives those schools the opportunity to allow every single player within their program, whether you're a freshman or a senior, access to me and my thoughts and my ideas and my education, because every family is completely unique.
Right.
You know, your son going through the process is completely different than anybody else's son.
Exactly.
And everyone needs to hear that and know that. So that's a lot on the high school coach. That's a lot for them to say, okay, I'm going to sit down with all of my different kids. I like to take some of that off their plate. So being able to kind of work with the
entire group. Because we're all so different. And you don't know what their goals are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my husband and I were talking about this one day. Student athlete. You call them the student athlete because student first. And then the athlete.
Right.
You want to find that school that's going to be that balance for you. You know, and not everybody wants a big school.
No, correct.
I went to a small school.
Right.
You know, there was like 1,500 kids. And to me, that fit me.
Right.
And I feel like there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
For not only these student athletes, but also for the parents. Because they're like, oh, I don't know. What should we do? Because the movie, I'm going to bring this up and you're going to be like, The Blind Side.
Yeah.
I think about that movie. Is any of that true?
Well, some of it is true. Obviously, the movies are always manipulated a little bit for TV, but there's a lot to the standpoint that people just don't know what they don't know. I mean, the reality is, as you said, you've got a son, he's younger, he's starting to, you know, he had a great season, he's starting to go through the process already at an early age. Some don't actually start that until they're after their junior year.
Right.
And they're less than 12 months away from potentially, you know, being ready to say, I make a decision.
Yeah.
And then only 24 months away from being ready to enroll. And that is a short time frame. So I've got 15 years of experience working in colleges, and then we're expecting these 16, 17-year-old kids to make decisions sometimes in 6 months. I think that's too much.
I think it's too much, too.
And that was actually a big part of it, was being able to kind of give them some thoughts and some ideas and some questions that they wouldn't otherwise think of,
right?
Because it's just so overwhelming. But we've also added way too much stress on these kids.
Yes.
You know, one of the big messages with my company, whether it is a selling point or not, is to try to reduce the stress on these kids.
Yes.
Trying to get them just to be kids, to focus on school, obviously, is critically important, but also to focus on socializing. You know, I talk to them about, you know, things like Twitter or X or Instagram or TikTok are tools of the recruiting trade. But if you're burning yourself up in there and you're missing out on things like going to a basketball game because you're too busy at your home just scrolling Twitter.
Go to other sports.
If you say, I'm going to specialize in another sport because I just want to focus on football, that's not my big approach, because I think you are missing out on life events that are just so critical in your development, which are going to make you a better recruit, which is kind of sometimes weird for people to hear. Well, so Dan, you're telling them to do less. In some cases, I do.
Yeah.
People think there's this aura that you have to do more. Well, and in a way, you don't.
It's true. But Dan, if you think about it nowadays, sports are all year round.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, there was a time way back when I was the dinosaur ages that it was like you had intramurals, you had your games after school, right. And then you were done.
Right.
You didn't have like practice every day. Right.
You know, and so much of it is unique to each kid, though.
Right.
You know, I have some families, and I'll tell this story. I'm not going to give out any specific names because that defeats the purpose of we don't want to compare ourselves. But there's a family over in Wisconsin that I work with that they went on one visit and play multiple sports year round. It completely bucks the common trend you would see out there, which is just training year round, going to camps, going to visits. He and his family went to one. They were good. They committed and they then ended up signing in December. And you would maybe say now that's the unique situation,
right.
Which 20 years ago, that used to be how it was all the time. You know, so letting people know that, you know, what you see on social media is not guaranteed to be your track is one of my big messages because people think, okay, I see it. And now we have the ability to grab our phones and connect in some form or fashion with somebody in California and Georgia and Florida and Texas. And while that's great, we're all humans. And you see that and you think, okay, if they did that, I have to do it. And in some cases, you can pull information from that and apply to your process, but it does not mean you have to do it, but people think you do.
Right.
And so that's a big part of what I'm trying to do is just get them, everybody to calm down.
Right. Make your unique path.
Yes.
Start making it somebody else's. And I got to do that myself, even in the industry I'm in with podcasting. Like, you just have to be true to yourself.
Right.
And you know, these kids, like you said, they're young, they're impressionable. Right. So they see this Twitter and they see these kids all get these offers and this and that. And they're like, oh, what about me? And I don't know if I saw this on one of your, because you have like a seminar or something coming.
Yeah, I have sessions almost every week.
Like D1, D2, D3 schools. Like, why is it so, like, you know, why does it matter? I mean, wherever these kids play?
To people, it does. You know, we're all humans. I think the thing that's really interesting, again, about this podcast and the more I've listened to it, it's a human element. This is a human game.
Yes.
Recruiting is. I think people associate sports with being out on the field and being able to run really fast and throw a football or in basketball, make a shot in lacrosse, throw the lacrosse ball really aggressively. In track, obviously, it's about running a time, but it is still fundamentally a people business.
Right.
You know, and we're all evaluating that and we're unfortunately comparing ourselves and saying, well, what do I not have that they don't have? You know, why are they getting these things that I don't? And what I try to remind people, and I've been very fortunate, Aaron Consulting has allowed me to work with kids that have had offers to every FBS school in the country, to work with young women who are going to do rowing in college, young men and women that are doing baseball and softball. And I'm here to tell you that the kids that you would think have it all, it's not any easier for them than it is for the ones that are still trying to find one person to talk to.
Right.
And that's a message that does not get shared because we all love to celebrate the kid who's the 5-star because it's easy to do that.
Right.
But they have just as many challenges as everybody else. The pressure is a little bit more. Now, we sometimes say we want that pressure. And while that might be true in a lot of cases, it's tough for those kids.
Oh, yeah.
17, 18 years old to be going through the things they have to do, considering NIL and $1 million opportunities.
I just had to ask, I'm going to be, you know, honest. Yep. I just had to ask my husband what that stood for, because I don't know if a lot of the listeners out there know what that means, but go ahead.
You know, name, image, and likeness was something that was created to allow these college student athletes to really enhance them as players before in our day. Okay. You could only play. You couldn't even get a sandwich at a restaurant. It would be illegal. Now you are able to go around. You could come on podcasts.
Yes.
You could go down to the local car dealership, but it's been morphed into something way different. It's become a recruiting tool, but the element of the young people now having to evaluate that at 17 years old, there are kids and families who are truly making decisions based off multi-million dollar opportunities. And while I say that there's nothing wrong with that, if your value is that good for you, that is a lot of mental pressure on a kid.
Where did this come from, though? I mean, back in the day, like it was like... What? I was thinking the Wheaties cereal.
Yeah. Like, things like that. You see Caitlin Clark on State Farm commercials. Great for her. She's the all-time lean scorer.
Look at my
scorer. Yes. All these people.
They're everywhere.
Adults have created this. And I don't want to go too far on a tangent here. Yeah. Adults have created this to get a piece of the pie for themselves too. Yeah. And I don't want to keep this very positive.
I get it, yes.
But we have all just seen that there's so much money available at the highest of levels. Well, we all want a piece of it. So how do we create it? And we have now just continued to add so much pressure on these kids. I have so many young, mostly young men in football who graduate early, enroll early, and that's fine.
Right.
You want to get to college. You want to go to school. College is an awesome experience, but you're missing out on prom. You're missing out on maybe running track as a senior. You're maybe missing out on that basketball run where your team could have won a state title. Those are the pros and cons they have to value. And listen, it's not my job to think of what's right or wrong. It's about, are you sure that this is the right decision for you? You know, and those are the things that we talk a lot about to try to bring them down for them to make the right decision. And they still may make those decisions. I'm not here to tell them it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
But we are incorporating so much pressure on these parents. And a lot of it fundamentally comes down to the cost of college. Yeah. I think about it all the time. I went to school. I went to a wonderful college, State University. My entire bill throughout the year was probably about $10,000 a year. That was including tuition. That was including housing, everything. Yeah. Now that is maybe going to cover tuition at majority of the state schools that are very low. That's a lot of pressure on a parent. How am I going to pay for that?
Right.
You know, and I think
you want to give them those opportunities because as parents, we feel the pressure too.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, oh, my kid really wants to go here and they could excel there. Yeah. And you just never know because we're all wishing, you know, that they do the best they can. And that's all, you know, that's all you want to do as a parent.
You know, and I sit here and even as we talk about this, you know, and again, I know you have a son going through it, but even as I talk about it, I can feel the stress that it creates. So it's always about trying to bring it back and just try to take it easy, take a breath.
Yes.
You know, this is one situation. This is one scenario in your life. And it may seem like the most important.
Right.
But one of the things I share with people is kind of embrace that stress, though. You know, take away from this process what you can use to start a company.
Right.
There's a lot of knowledge.
You can bring
every single thing that I went through in the recruiting process. I went on trips with my dad. We would go down to combines. I ended up playing at a Division II school. My dream was to play at Michigan. I'm not afraid to say it.
Right.
I grew up being a Michigan fan. But a lot of those same, if not all those same things that I learned on those trips with my dad, I apply to my company today. All those same things that I applied to coaching. And again, I had a lot of great, successful runs.
It's your experience.
And you apply the negative and the positive as well. And I'll never forget this. This is a statement that I kind of live by.
I got to write this down.
This is a good one. No, this is a really good one. Write this one down. I would recommend this to anybody. Don't chase money. Let money chase you. And I think we're getting to a point now where so many of us, because of the enormity of the cost of everything in this world, college, just living, we're chasing money. And that's understandable. I'm not here to tell anybody that that's wrong.
Right.
But if you find a way to chase something that you really, truly believe in, you stay on your path. It has a funny way of finding you. I really am a big believer. Maybe it's easier said than done.
Oh, you don't know. And I think, you know, when we're going back into talking about how, you know, now we have social media and we didn't have that back then. So you didn't have you didn't have that comparison because you didn't know what your next door neighbor was doing or the person down the street. So you didn't have to compare. But then when you go on all these social medias and we did go to a college this summer. And we talked to the coach and he said, I'm not on Twitter.
Right.
I'm like, you know, I mean, I know you all think that the coaches are all on Twitter, but really they're not, you know, and, you know, maybe they have staff or somebody on there, you know, doing stuff. But they said, you just, whatever you do is don't put anything on social media that's going to come back.
No, you have to be very careful. But at the end of the day, what we're just creating is just too much pressure on especially the kids. You know, I'm 40. Okay, I was going to try to hold that back, but I'm 40.
Wow, you're so old, Dan.
Yeah, it sure feels like it. I can handle it. You know, I've been through the fires, but what I don't want is my 15, 16, 17-year-old kid and my own children worrying about things that I worry about now at their age. If they deal with it when they get a little bit older, that's fine. And so much of what we're doing, I think, to these kids is something that does concern me. And so I attacked this, you know, this avenue of recruiting to try to be a little different. You know, I think that's a big part of it is people always ask me all the time, like, what do you do? And I tell them, well, I don't do exposure. Yeah. I don't call any coaches. And, you know, I'm an educational service. And they're like, well, how do you have a business? And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about it. You know, so it's, you really have to understand what your path is and what you really want to do in anything in life. And I think going through the recruiting process is an extremely valuable thing, but it's so stressful on everybody involved. And I want to try to be a sounding board.
Changing.
It's constantly changing.
Right.
But it's always going to be constantly changing.
Right.
Like anything else in life. I mean, I think when I since I stepped out of coaching and I started this business, I do see the world differently too.
Right.
Everything's constantly changing, but in a funny way, if you really look at things, things have a funny way of just coming full circle. And they come back to that starting point, just in a different manifestation in a way. You know, and recruiting's kind of the same way. These college coaches are looking for great players that are committed. And this is every sport. And I'll give you a great example because it's not just football.
I was going to say, do you recruit for any other?
I help educate people on any sport.
Any sport. Yep.
I have
so
a couple programs that, okay. You know, and I will say this. I say this all the time. The young women and their families that go through this process are way more mature and prepared for it than the young men. And that's not a slight at the men. It's just reality. We have just created a different animal the way we choose to recruit young boys. Right. And the young girls, it's more about fit and it's more about making sure that they feel comfortable.
Right.
Young girls don't actually care about levels as much. In some cases, you know, going to a higher level school does matter, but in most cases, they're just looking for fit.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to impart that onto the young men and say, hey, listen, you know, if you can just look at it this way, I'm telling you, you'll have a good experience. But like in rowing, for instance, I have so many student athletes that were softball players, volleyball players, and the rowing coach from University X is just looking for great athletes.
Yes.
And these young women have an opportunity to go to school, in some cases get scholarship and be a part of something, help their transition, and they just have such great experiences.
Right.
But we've created football and basketball, both men and women's basketball, kind of become this animal. And so many people have attached themselves to it. So the other sports, a lot of times, are more enjoyable.
Okay.
You know, fun.
I can imagine.
And I really do enjoy talking to those families and those kids. They just have a little bit better sense, and I
right.
hope it doesn't get overtaken by some of the things you see in football.
It's so true. And sometimes when you are in a sport that is driven by the whole team,
right.
like it's just not one person.
Right.
You know, like golf
right.
or tennis. But when you're in a sport where it's constantly like, you know, if you didn't have these, you know, the linemen or
right.
the guards or anybody, you know,
right.
any sport, you couldn't be,
right.
you couldn't excel at, you know, your athletic ability.
So there's the great balance. There's the great balance of sports. And I think that's where recruiting is so much fun for me to then attack and then talk to the families about how important that element that you just said right there is. Because recruiting at its fundamental base starts to separate team sports. Just fundamentally. Your son's a really good player. And then there's somebody who might be just an okay player that's saying, well, why is, you know, your son getting more than I'm getting or not?
Right.
And you have to always bring that together because you start tearing apart that team element. It will haunt you for the rest
right.
of your life.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, I kind of said it a little bit earlier, like I also fundamentally believe I'm really trying to attack and help some of the fissures that get caused amongst the team sports as well.
Right.
And in football, it's a little easier because I played. And I've been connected to it for so long. But to be able to pull a parent aside or pull a young man aside and say, listen, your best bet is to be the best player on, to be the team that wins a state title.
Yes.
That's going to help you in your recruiting. Finding that balance so that there's not that divide is the most challenging thing I have to
right.
attack, especially with the high school coaches, because they're always like, what can I do to keep this team element together? And I'm like, recruiting at its fundamental core starts to pull away from that. And you have to try to find that balance to pull them back together, because all the kids, and I've been saying this, in 2024 has been the year of me self-reflecting and investing into the company. So your school and all your families that have just really, I think, invested back into me to start this company to be where it is. What I've been telling them is all my data and all my evaluation tells me that the kids that are on the trajectory up are getting the most opportunities. Well, how do you do that? Your team is the best it can be.
Right.
Coaches will still recruit kids that maybe aren't on a winning team because, hey, listen, things happen. Sports are
right.
hard. But if your team is excelling, generally you are as well.
Right.
And that's what they're looking for. So it's been kind of trying to share that message that I know you have to kind of pull yourself away. Maybe you have to choose between going to a summer camp with your own team and a summer camp to go get evaluated.
Right.
Let's communicate. Let's find that balance. Let's not tear the team apart. Try to do both, but at the same time, not wear yourself out.
I
mean, we're talking about a lot. And these are 17-year-old kids. That's a lot to ask for these kids.
Sometimes. It is a lot. Now, so do you recommend that these kids do multiple sports in
a sport? Yeah. So I do from a recruiting standpoint, because then the college coaches get to travel around and see you do sport.
Because a lot of these kids that I've heard that are like, once they get that offer or once they get that school, okay, I'm going to quit this other.
Well, you know,
because I'm good now.
Again, this is always where it comes down to communicating, but it's the balance.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, what we have to remember, though, is recruiting, unlike the NFL or the WNBA, where you get drafted and you get selected and you're good to go, recruiting is a lot of verbal communication. It's a lot of trust. So let's just say you have a young man in the game of football that verbally commits to a school before his senior year, before December signing date, you're just really still hoping. And that coach is going to be, you know, honest to their word. And so are you. So when you ultimately get to a point where you sign that letter of intent, or you now you're kind of locked in and you can consider this more concrete, now you start bringing in the risk of jeopardizing your future. And that's that balance. That's the balance that I'm always talking to people about, that it's more about what's important for you.
Right.
And if you are ready to move on with your life, and you as a family have sat down and said, you sure you don't want to go to prom? You sure you don't want to go to, you know, play your third sport? You sure you don't want to just stay in this high school environment and kind of continue to live it? Okay. If you've had those conversations, great. But don't do it just because you saw somebody else on social media. And I think that's that balance, that you just cannot take recruiting and put it in a cookie cutter funnel anymore.
Yes,
you have to talk to everybody individually, and people only have so much time. So again, as I always kind of think about what you just said right there, it is a very tough dynamic, and it kind of sounds heavy, and you think, but man, the sports are supposed to be fun.
Right.
But the next step is a business-like atmosphere. And that's not, I don't enjoy that. I wish it was more just enjoyable and fun. But I think about what I went through, and we did not have the opportunities to earn money.
Right.
You know, we did not have the freedom to transfer like they did. So there's pros to that, but the cons are also to that part of it. I learned how to battle. We were not the best team in our league every single year. There was always one team a little bit better than us. And that year we beat them and won the league. It was one of the greatest years. And I think to myself, had I transferred and had I left for a little bit of, you know, NIL money to be able to go be somebody who advocates at a car company just to sell a couple cars and get a check. If I'd have missed out on that, where would I be today? I don't know the answer to that. None of us can go back and change time.
About that, though, that's really, you know, it's true. Like, your experiences make you who you are today. And what's so great about you, Dan, is you've been through a lot of things. You've been a coach. You've been a player. So you know, in perspective of what it takes and the pressures that are on you, because, you know, you don't go out there and fail at something or do something, you know, make mistakes and say, oh, I lost the game for the whole team.
Right.
Like that to me is such a hard thing for these young boys and girls, you know, and I just hold on and I just say to them, like, listen, you just be you and stop putting so much pressure on yourself to think it's all about you.
It's hard. It's really hard. But I also don't want to make it sound like it's a slight to the kids who do make decisions to transfer. And I don't want to say, just to kind of avoid the tough times, but everybody has a different life perspective.
Right.
You know, some people look at it as, I need this money or I need this fresh start. And you know what? If that's what's best for you, those experiences can be very positive as well. You know, and I really try to look at this now, and this might sound a little odd, but almost every experience can be positive if you look at it the right way.
Right.
The problem is we're creating so many paths. You just have to make sure you continue to help, especially these young people, know that, listen, this is maybe what my opinion is, what's the best opportunity for you, but wherever you go, I'm here to help you.
Right.
You know, I've had some families that have gone through the transfer portal process. My personal opinion, my personal Dan Fajosi opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the transfer.
So now you're able to transfer one time free and play the next year.
And why do you think these student athletes transfer?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think fundamentally now the NIL opportunity comes into play.
Yes.
You know, if I have a chance to go and get because you are talking six-figure contracts in some cases. You are talking million-dollar contracts in some cases. You're talking about the top 1% of 1%.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you can earn money at 18 years old, that could be life-changing. That is a potential deciding factor.
So you think it's they transfer?
That's one of them.
Because
you also have the opportunity maybe sometimes to get a little bit closer to home, or in some cases go to a program that's a better fit for you offensively, defensively, schematically, whatever it may be.
They look at these big names and think once they get there, they're like, wait a minute,
right?
I'm not playing.
Well, I don't know. I think kids have way more confidence than we ever did.
Yeah.
I think kids believe they enter the transfer portal and I'm going to go beat out Caleb Williams. Now he's not at USC anymore, but I think you're seeing kids with much more confidence than I ever had. That's for sure. So they look at it as, I think I'm good enough to play at North Carolina, but coming out of high school, my only opportunity was to play out of Saginaw Valley.
Yeah.
I played, I proved myself, and I'm going to go take my shot. You know, you always hear the term now, I'm going to go shoot my shot, right? I mean, some little eighth grader said that to my daughter last weekend at a basketball game. I lost my mind. He said, oh, I got to shoot my shot, you know, because he wants to try to date her.
Oh.
I'm going to shoot my shot. I'm going to try to date you. And I'm standing right there. I'm like, get out of here.
I'm in the sports.
Exactly. I'm in the sports team. You know, but at the end of the day, these kids believe in themselves more than they ever did. And they now have the pathways to go and try to take your chance. But the scary risk about it, and I'm about to do a session for the Aaron families.
Yeah.
I might might even make it public and talk about the dangers of the portal, because the numbers show that about 60%, 60, enter the portal and leave with nothing. So they're only focusing on the kids that are making it. And they're saying, I'm going to be that next kid. And it's a little bit like gambling.
That is scary.
Yes. And so you have to just continue to educate them that if you're going to take this gamble, you also have to understand that it's not just the good you have to consider. You have to consider the bad. What happens if you end up with nothing? What's your next plan?
It's a risk.
It is. We are continually putting so many things on top of these kids that I always try to bring them, you know, kind of calm down. Let's make sure we're at least making the right decision for you. So there's so many avenues. But here's my thing, Jen, and I'll just tell you this. Any student can transfer at any time, too. So I am in the camp that...
It doesn't matter if it's okay or anything.
What's really tough is on the coaches now. And I don't work with any college coaches. I don't have any connection. But man, imagine walking into your work and not knowing who's going to be on your team. You know, imagine if we set up this podcast...
I didn't even think about that perspective.
Well, think about this.
You're right.
Imagine if we set up this podcast. I was sitting over there reading a book, waiting for you to show up. And then you walked in and somebody different was ready to come in. My assistant or something like that. Yeah. That would really throw you off.
Right.
How can you plan and how can you prepare? So I do think about these coaches. Now, everyone always wants to say they get paid and some of them are millionaires. And while that's true, it's still hard to do your job when you show up every day and you have no idea if this kid's going to be here, if they're going to be there, because they do want to develop these young people. So again, in the game of football and men's and women's basketball, you see some of these bigger issues where these coaches are just like, how can we develop these people?
Wow.
But these players have been given freedom and opportunities, and some of them like to attack
it. I didn't even think about that, Dan. And that is so true. If you think about it, when, you know, you have a business, like say I have employees that work for me, but they can always leave whenever they want to leave.
Absolutely.
And I'll never know. And they can take, you know, I can, you know, train them and get them all ready. And then they're gone.
Yeah.
So that perspective is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because you don't, because when you're in it or when, you know, you see it on TV, you don't know all the stuff. These coaches, the coaches that I've known, and my husband was a coach for baseball and football when my son was younger, but the pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost sleep over some of the games and these kids and, you know, well, it's just,
People ask me all the time, you know, Dan, how do you fix sports? And, you know, we can continue to talk about laws and we can continue to talk about how we need Congress. What it really fundamentally comes down is the leadership at the top, respecting both the coaches and the players and us coming to a better position of reducing that pressure. You know, you see these coaches, if you don't win the national title, you're fired. And you have these boosters and these people that are like, so frustrated because we've invested in all this money and you're not winning the national title. And I always try to remind people, one team a year wins the national title.
Right.
And we have now created such high expectations for everybody.
Look at the Super Bowl.
It is so difficult. And I'm a Lions fan. So we lost it in the conference championship and people were like, are you disappointed? I said, no, I'm not disappointed. I want to see this team get to where they're competing every year, like the 49ers.
Yes.
And we've kind of lost perspective of that. You know, everything is you have to win now or else I'm not going to be a fan anymore, or you have to win now. That is crazy talk. And we really need to stop that in sports. I lived through 20 years of the Lions struggling. Yeah. I want to see the Lions be good for 20 years.
Yes.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl every year, and they might not ever win the Super Bowl. But to continually see them battle and right in there, that's what I want to be part of.
And improve.
Yes. But we're losing perspective of that. And it's one of the great frustrations I have. But, you know, that's part of what Aaron Consulting is about, is trying to also change people's mindset that you know, a lot of positive things can happen. No matter the direction, just make sure you're thinking it through. Make sure you're really consulting what I call a true circle. Okay.
I tell people
all the time. I say, okay, you know, you've got a circle of people that are just critical to you. It's your family.
Right.
Okay. Obviously, your opinion as the student athlete is important. You know, your ministry faith, whatever faith you are.
Right.
And I say those are your head coach. Maybe even in a lot of sports, your travel coach, because travel and AAU and volleyball and basketball, they are very much invested. But those people are in that circle. And I tell them all the time, and these schools pay me. And I say, I'm not in that circle. I don't know you well enough.
Right.
So if I were to try to give you advice, I don't know you well enough to know what's right for you. Now, maybe in 2 or 3 years, sometimes I do work with freshmen. I said, come back to your trusted circle. And you have to really think about who you want in that. Are your friends in your trusted circle? Now, at 18 years old, you might think that's the case. But don't be afraid to come back to your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents, your ministry advisor who truly knows you, your high school coach who saw you develop for 4 years. Instead of me, I'm really good at what I do. I can see players. I can evaluate as good as anybody in the country, but you should not trust me to give you guidance. You should trust me to give you thoughts and ideas, maybe some questions. But at the end of the day, that true circle, we have to get kids especially coming back to that and remembering that, make decisions and trust those people. If you have to say someone's going to make a decision for me, should they be the people in that true circle, not people like me or anybody on social media.
Right. And I've been seeing with the, with our own team that, I see them on the sidelines before the game and they're praying.
Yep.
And I just, I love that because I'm like, you be you. And right. If you want to pray and, right. And just, but to me, it's like, that's what I love right. about a team right. camaraderie. You're getting these kids together. Right. They're working hard. Right. They're working together. And they, right. their end goal is to win.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you this, you bring up a really good point. Sports should really be a culmination of people of every different race and every different mm-hmm. color and every different religious denomination. Right. Maybe the gender thing is a little different discussion. I think you're starting to see more young girls play football, which I think is awesome. I see a lot of young girls wrestle. I'm just going to say that. That's phenomenal. But at the end of the day, each one of those people are going to be different. And if they have different past, maybe even use religion as an example. I've coached on a team where we had a Muslim on the team.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, his religious beliefs were much different than the majority of the other ones who were practicing other religious faiths. But the one thing I do remember from that was we treated everybody exactly unique to them. What's important to you, your religion, we have to respect it. Well, I'm a Catholic. I don't know anything about the Muslim religion. So tell me what I need to know.
Yes.
And when he had to go on Ramadan, we had to respect that. And that's important. And I think those are the things. I'm actually going to do another session on faith and how important that it is. And it's not going to be choose this faith. It's going to be, I strongly encourage people to come back to their faith, whatever it is, and use that as you're going through sports. And then especially in the recruiting process, because at the end of the day, the recruiting process can fall off a cliff. Sports can fall off a cliff, but you have to come back on your faith. That's another thing I've done.
I totally agree.
There's been a lot that's changed since I got out of coaching. And at the end of the day, kind of falling back on some of the failures I've had have helped, but I've also needed to fall back on my faith to remind me that, listen, that you're going to continue to have good things happen.
Right.
Correct.
Things are going to happen.
Right.
I use this word a lot with a lot of my guests is like, what is perfect and who right. is perfect? And why do we even use that word perfect? Right. Because it really doesn't define right. anyone in this world.
No. And especially in recruiting, there's actually two words I tell people never to use. I tell them never to use perfect and I tell them never to use love. And I think those are two things that we should not do. And I when I get on a first call, like a lot of times I start up with a new school.
But don't use perfect.
Don't use perfect and don't use love when it comes to the recruiting process in sports. And here's my thing. I get those kids and they're usually flanked by mom and dad, right? Because everybody jumps on the Zoom. They want to hear about me and what I do. So I'll tell them, I'll say, young Dan Fedrosi, why are you playing? And inevitably, almost every young man especially says, well, I love playing football. I says, whoa, hold on. You should never love playing football. You should love your family. You should love your faith.
Yeah.
But let's talk more about the process. Maybe you enjoy the challenge. See, we're using, and I know this is kind of the current world we live in now. Got to be careful. Like, if you love football, football will go that fast.
Right.
Someday football's ending.
You're going to have it.
You're going to have to find, and so I encourage my young men especially, do not say you love football, because also, you're going to be showing up to that workout at 6 a.m. You're not going to love football. I can tell you right now.
No.
You're going to be like, this is the last thing I love. So it's about how we train these young people to understand kind of what's important to them.
So what would you want? What do you think they should say? Like, why do you play this sport?
I enjoy the challenge.
I enjoy.
Sports are about challenge because very few times are you going to win. Peters Township just won the first Whippeel Championship in the history of the town, as far as I know, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It could be another 100 years until they win. I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
I hope I'm wrong. But at the end of the day, you should want to go out there because I want the challenge of trying to win that. And if I don't, I'm just going to continue to battle. If I've never had a tennis state champion and I got a pretty good player, well, maybe I'm going to keep showing up to practice to put myself so that when I'm in that position, I'm going to win. And at the end of the day, that's what sports should be. And oh, by the way, if someone then comes along and says, man, you're good enough to play at Clemson or you're good enough to play at Duke basketball or Lady Volunteers basketball. Okay, let me start approaching that where I am. Trying to create too much is the balance that I try to find. Because people always ask me, what do we have to do?
But that's the thing, Dan. Like the end game, like everyone's, oh, well, we got to get to the Whippeel Championship. We got to get to the Super. There's all these end games. But sometimes it's, everybody wants to win.
Right.
I know that's a big deal. I mean, that's why we, play sports, because we want to achieve that.
Right.
But I don't know. Like nowadays, like when I see these kids upset when they play a sport and they lose, and I think it's okay. It's all right. But I don't know. I don't even know what to say to them. So I don't even say anything.
I would actually say nothing. You know, and I would allow these kids to learn how to handle their own set of failure. And I was actually just talking to Coach Plack and Coach Evans about this. The big concern that I have, that I think many have in American sports, is kids are being desensitized to competition just in general. And I'll give you a great example. Yeah. I'm fine with basketball. Mm-hmm. My son plays a more of like an AAU style basketball. My daughter's in competitive dance.
I was going to
go for an animal.
You'll have to start. My daughter was too.
But what you are seeing right now with sports is you're seeing especially young men who don't have any reaction to winning or losing because there's just another game. There's just another game. Oh, we lost. Well, in an hour, we're going to play another game. And people are very concerned about that because it's not teaching me that, you know what, I just lost. I'm going to go to practice on Monday and get myself ready because I'm never losing again. You're not hearing that messaging from the kids. It's, oh, well, we lost. We got another game in an hour.
Especially basketball.
Especially
basketball. Because when you have tournaments, you have game after game.
Basketball, volleyball. Football doesn't carry this from the 11-on-11 padded. You're seeing it sometimes in 7-on-7, which is kind of a different element, but a lot of these kids do that in the summer. And I think, you know, this constant messaging that I've been hearing lately is if you look at the European athletes and people, especially in basketball, mm-hmm. you know, kind of mention this, those young people practice all week and they barely play a few games on the weekends. This is the messaging that I'm hearing.
Okay.
And those people, like the Luka Doncic of the world, the young man, Joker, Jokic over at Denver, obviously one of the best basketball players in the world, but they are just about the process of getting better. And then we play one game on Saturday. And you know what? It didn't go well. I better go get better on Monday.
Right.
Where the American players in many sports, not all of them, you practice a couple times throughout the week and then you go play five games. So those practices and that ability just to compete and get better at fundamentals and then realize how important that two-hour game is to focus and lock it in is being lost. You know, people will use that, you know, that Kobe Bryant mentality. You're not seeing as much of that anymore. No. And I do think we have to bring that back. Like, I don't think many things in the world are going backwards. Like, I really wish they would. Like, the whole Uncle Rico thing. Like, I'm still trying to find that time portal to go back.
What is that?
Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Oh. He was always trying to go back in time. You got to watch that movie. Great movie. You guys will have, you and Michael have fun watching that. Uncle Rico is a washed up football player that wishes if he'd have got his chance in the Whippeal State Championship, he'd have went to the pros, all those things. So, but at the end of the day, like, we do need to bring a few things back, and that's just the ability to battle and compete at practice. And you know what, if you do lose that game on Friday night and if you're crying, I would actually embrace those kids and say, good, I hope you feel terrible, let's see what you do on Monday.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes that's easier. Yes, but in many other sports you're seeing them, like my son will walk off after a big win and he'll be like, all right, so can I go get some M&Ms from the concession stand? I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, don't you want to talk about the game? Or, you know, even a big loss, like they'll lose to a pretty good team and he'll be like, hey, can I have Brody over for a sleepover? And I'm like, dude, come on, man. You know. And he's only 10.
Because he's still young. He's, you know, not...
Maybe, but you're seeing it from the high school kids, too. You know, if you go to some of these high school AAU tournaments, it's just constant games. And I don't know if the kids are embracing that challenge and that battle that they can get from more practice. That's one of the things I would love to bring back. It's hard for me to really control that, you know.
I think the hardest thing, too, is what I see. And I just talked to a fellow a couple of weeks ago about how there's so much testing and there's so much this and there's so... These kids really, they end up going to college. He was just saying that his son was like, Dad, I don't know what I want to do. I'll just do what you do.
Right.
Like, they almost don't have their own decisions anymore.
No,
they're kind of showing, like, you know, okay, you like a certain sport. Well, guess what? My son's going to play basketball because I love basketball. And then all of a sudden, your son goes, you know what? I don't know if I like basketball, but my dad really wants me to play.
Well, so I think a big part of that.
What do you do about that?
Well, I actually have one tangible thing that any parent can do. Either don't go to practice or coach. Okay. And one of the things that I say, especially with like youth baseball, my son played T-ball and all those things. You would see parents post up their chairs and sit there. And what it creates...
For
practice.
Okay.
You see the kid doing this, looking over at dad, then looking at coach, looking at dad. I would drop my son off. Now, if you're worried about safety, that's a whole different conversation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
This is 2024. Things are different. I would go for a walk and I would never want my kid to see me. You're going to listen to one person. You're going to listen to your coach. And then when we're at the games, and now maybe I'm unique because I, again, playing college sports did give me a little different perspective.
You've seen it.
I sit at those games and I don't say a word.
Yeah.
I cheer if a good shot gets made, but I never yell at the ref. Never going to do it. I might under my breath say, wait, I don't know about that.
Basketball is really bad with the refs.
Yes, but you're never going to see it from me. And I think as a parent, the one thing that you can tangibly do, and the games are tough because there's a lot of tension, but at practice, either don't go. Now, basketball, sometimes you got the arena and you don't go in there. Don't go and watch or coach. And then that gives a much different mindset to your young daughter or son, because I see way too many kids doing this, looking over at mom or dad, looking up in the stands, throwing their hands up. And I'm always like, this is because they're going home and they're getting coached up by mom and dad.
Oh,
and I'm not saying that's bad. Right. You want them at home and you want to try to work on some things, let them be.
I remember there was a child and played basketball, and this was back in like middle school or something. I don't even know. And I remember he made a mistake or he got a foul and he looked up at his dad like, down his dad, like, I don't deserve this foul. And I thought, wait, because these kids talk back now to these refs.
Well, and that's, we as parents have to correct that.
Yeah.
We as parents have to step in and correct that. And a lot of that comes down to, what are you saying at the dinner table? You know, and I tell people in the recruiting process, try not to talk about the recruiting process at the dinner table. Talk about something else, because your kid hears that. And I know we all think they're staring at their phone. They're not listening. Right. They are. Okay. But at the end of the day, you know, what are you talking about at the dinner table? Are you sitting there saying, yeah, that was a bad call in the third quarter, I can't believe they did that? Are you saying, listen, battle back, go have a good practice and beat them the next time you play?
And they're going to, you know, and this is my older son now, he played baseball and now he is an umpire.
Right.
So he sees it from a different perspective of how the coaches are like, come on, man. Yep. Or, you know, the parents are like, come on, you know, umpire, whatever. You don't know, you know, that was a bad call.
Yeah.
They're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Okay. Like, you know, sometimes they're going to miss that push in the background or whatever that's called.
Right. And it's okay for us to have some conflict as far as, you know, maybe just some communication. Sometimes the coaches get animated. What I really encourage, especially parents that are in the stands, to allow that just to be between the coach and the umpire. Now, I should never reach any kind of physical state or anything like that. You see some of these crazy stories between coaches and umpires. But if you want to have an argument of a call, that's fine, but let those two handle it.
Right. And everything's videotaped.
Yes, and everything's videotaped.
You know, it'll come back to bite you.
Right. Absolutely.
I so enjoyed this conversation because I feel like I've learned a lot, and you really opened up my eyes to what the coaches are going through on their perspective.
Right.
Because as parents, we're thinking about like me, my kid, but we don't think about on the other side of how it's affecting other people. Because it's not that I want to say it's a business, but it is something that we as parents and coaches and people from the outside, you know, recruiters that show us the education, that guess what? There's more to the story than just what you think is going on. What you think is important isn't always the most important thing.
Right. Absolutely. No, it's a challenging process. No, this has been great. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So give us one last thing that you would like to say to the listeners about this, about recruiting or about how you are teaching your kids and where.
Yeah. If I could express one thing, trust your high school coaches or any of your coaches. And again, it's not just about football. Trust the evaluation of your coaches and be able to accept that feedback.
Right.
I think many times parents want to hear something. I want my son to be good enough to play at Duke basketball or for the UConn basketball.
Honestly.
The reality is you have to take it and then apply it to your process and trust your coach's evaluation. If you ever feel like you need another level of guidance or help, that's fine. Stick to education as far as your coaches or people that are really pushing education, because you do not have a hard time finding exposure anymore these days. We're all on Twitter. It can all be found. Trust your coaches. Embrace their evaluations and move forward with the facts the best that you can get them. That's the best way to approach this process.
I love it, Dan. Thank you so much for taking the time. So glad he was in the Pittsburgh area for us to record this.
So
I will definitely, we're going to keep track of what you're doing, but if somebody would like to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Very simple. My website is getaaren.com. That's GETAREN.com. And all my contact information is on there. People always laugh. I give my cell phone out to everybody. I enjoy talking to people.
Yes.
I got a lot of words in. I don't know how much you actually able to jump in. I might have.
No, I love this.
Talk the
least. Tell me more. Tell me more. I love this.
Yeah, just reach out to me, email, send me a text, visit the site, find some information on there. And if you feel like it's something that can benefit you, I'd definitely be here to help.
I love it. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Because we need people like you out there, you know, just a guidance and really put it in perspective about what really is important nowadays, you know, and just, you know, keeping our kids safe and healthy and just making them happy instead of just stress.
Absolutely.
There's enough stress in the world today. Oh, thank you, Dan, for being on Spill with Me, Jenny D.
Yep, thank you very much.
This was our episode. Take care. Come spill with me.